Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, during the pandemic, and even before that, certain websites experienced a boom in business, one of them being OnlyFans, where people can sell explicit pictures of themselves to individual users. Angela Jones from the State University of New York is the author of Camming Money, Power and Pleasure in the Sex Work, in the Sex Work Industry. And Angela joins us now on News Talk. Afternoon, Angela.
Good afternoon. How are you? Glad to be here.
So could you explain for us, the economic structure of OnlyFans? How does it work?
Sure. So for folks who are not familiar with this particular platform, it's a content sharing or hosting platform. And then content creators post videos and pictures and then sell subscriptions that folks can purchase.
Right. OK. And so would that be kind of on an ongoing basis? Would you have 20 or 30 or 40 subscribers and you would post something once a week or whatever?
Absolutely. I think that the folks who are the most successful are spending a lot of time curating these accounts. But what I think is also important is that for a lot of the folks who use this platform, this is not their only job, right? These are folks who have multiple streams of income. For a lot of the adult performers who are using the site, they have already an extensive fan base or following who are then subscribing to those accounts.
So, but then on the other hand, the anecdotal evidence has been that during lockdown, during the pandemic, particularly that people who had lost their jobs or were desperate to pay their bills turned to OnlyFans to seek it to supplement their income.
Yeah. So for anybody who's been following the mainstream press, there's this kind of exit, there's this grand migration or great migration narrative that we see playing out. So look, I'm a sociologist, so I have a little bit of data. So OnlyFans launched in 2016. And so just to give listeners some perspective, it's relatively new to the market. So in 2019, there were only 120,000 only, but 120,000 content creators. It's now over a million. Right. So during the pandemic, we did really see a spike in the number of people who were turning to OnlyFans.
Right. Was that all over the world, Angela, or specifically in the United States?
This is all over the world. I think, in my research in both the camming industry and these kind of online sex markets, we do see that there is, especially in terms of who's making the most money, an overrepresentation of people, say, from the United States, UK, Canada, but it is an international site.
Right. Okay. But once you suddenly have over a million people competing in the same marketplace, the rewards mightn't be as rich.
Absolutely. We know this story really well, right? When any market, doesn't have to be a sex market, in any market, once it becomes saturated, we all know what happens to wages in a saturated market.
Which essentially means not very much.
Exactly. And also, if it helps for some perspective, we know that the median wages, monthly wages, are only about $180. And that when you look at the earnings of the top 1 to 10% of the content producers, those folks are making over 80% of the money on that site.
So then, are there many cases of people opening an OnlyFans account, giving it a go for a few weeks or months, and then giving up because it basically didn't make any money out of it?
I think this is the case too, right? So we have a false sense of just how popular or how many people are using the site because, yes, a lot of people have created accounts, but unfortunately, right, Horatio Alger dies hard, right? A lot of people are now realizing that, wait, I'm not making the type of bank that they're seeing, right? Like, so you'll see these advertisements, or again, I think you were alluding to these anecdotal stories of, people making $100,000 and $50,000 a month. And while it is true, there are people who are earning that amount, your average person is not.
Right. Okay. Now, as you said, that the people making the real money maybe already have had a career in the porn industry, or maybe social media influencers, etc. But for somebody who just was a nurse, for instance, just needed to supplement their income, even if they only did it for a short period of time, those pictures are always there, are they? And is there a danger with them appearing elsewhere?
Yeah. So two really important things there. I think, yes, I think it's most important. I think it's really critical for people to understand that the people who are most successful are people with large following and clients who already have a substantial following already. And then I think it's also important to note that other factors such as race, gender, and age, and embodiment, shape, you know, we often call sexual capital and how much people are earning. So, you know, in these online sex industries, it's generally able-bodied, young, white, cisgender women who were hearing these stories of making mega bank on these sites. And again, these are people who you just said, they're already working in pornographic industries. So if their videos and their content show up all over the internet, hey, that's marketing for them, right? Like that's more traffic. This is their job. This is what they do for a living, right? And other folks who are turning to this industry for work and taking jobs, you know, again, who are, you know, laboring in these online platforms, they maybe a little bit more concerned about the stigma that I think you were just talking about, right? Mm. Like that nurse who was also working on OnlyFans, you know, for this additional stream of income might have even greater concerns about, you know, well, what happens when some administrator finds out about what she's doing. So that stigma is really a serious issue. And I think, you know, just in terms of the dangers, because I think you're also kind of asking about that too, I think, you know, online, these online sex markets have increasingly become appealing to people across social classes because they really do offer a level of physical autonomy that you're not going to find, say, in offline sex markets. And that can be really appealing to people. But people have to deal with, when you're working in these industries, you have to deal with not just the stigma, right? That's important, but things like capping, which is shorthand for capturing video. So like you said, your videos might show up all over the internet. People talk extensively about doxing and stalking and online harassment, right? Like I could tell you plenty of stories, the number of, you know, content producers, cam models who I've talked to about having to deal day in and day out with, you know, online, you know, trolls and harassment.
Mm. Was OnlyFans hacked, or at least there was a big leak of material for OnlyFans?
Yeah, I mean, there are, and I would say that on a range of platforms, there are some serious concerns, like privacy concerns that people should be, you know, thinking about. I think it's important that when anybody moves into these industries, that they do so in a way that's kind of vigilant. And if they can, are able and have access, are able to do some research about how they can, you know, increase their level of privacy in these industries.
Right. Okay. And camming, just because I was wondering, camming, I assume, means the part of the sex industry that's just doing something on camera.
Yes, correct. So whereas OnlyFans is just really about distributing content, when you log on to any cam site platform, now you're having an interactive experience with a performer as opposed to just consuming, you know, videos or pictures.
Mm. Now, if OnlyFans turns out was something, it might be something of a poison chalice for a lot of people who think they might be able to make money on it. Does that kind of perhaps imply that next year or the year after, there won't be half as many people on it?
Not at all, actually. I want to give a different take here, because I think that what I've learned from talking, spending years researching and talking to performers, you know, in a wide range of sex industries, it's that I think that there's an assumption that people's motivations for entry into any form of sex work is, you know, very often reduced to economic desperation only. Mm. And I think that there's, of course, economic precarity drives people to find all types of jobs, right? But, you know, OnlyFans, for example, is one of many jobs in the platform or gig economy. So I think it's important for people, you know, people listening, to step back for a second and ask, you know, why would somebody choose to post nudes online and not drive for, I don't know, Uber, or deliver food on one of these many apps or platforms, right? And I think, well, it's for good reasons, right? While OnlyFans and other platforms often take a cut, on OnlyFans, just for your information, it's everybody's information, it's 20%.
Right. Okay.
But over, But overall, content creators can make more money in a much shorter work shift than, say, you know, in these other gig economies. Think about the barriers for entry, right? They're minimal. To post on OnlyFans, you have to be 18 and have a government-issued ID. Whereas we know so many other jobs have far more stringent qualifications and requirements for employment, right? And many other jobs, especially depending on where one is in the world.
Indeed. We have to leave it there, I'm afraid, Angela. We're a bit over time. Fascinating, though, it was talking to you. And thank you so much for doing so. That was Angela Jones, Associate Professor of Sociology at the State University of New York and the author of Camming Money, Power and Pleasure in the Sex Works Industry.
Moncrief on News Talk.